Hey there, and welcome to episode 16. This is Lolita E. Walker, and I am so excited about today's episode. I just happened to be editing this recording today on November 7th, 2020, and this is a perfect opportunity to make sure that we have this moment on this episode. Amazing congratulations to President-elect Joe Biden and
Vice President-elect Kamala Harris,
my soror of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, making history today, the first Black woman in this position. And I just wanted to take a moment to say congratulations. I am so excited. I pray that they are both somewhere taking in this moment in time. Just this moment right here. Yes. I could not finish recording this without making sure that this is forever etched in Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. Whoever would have thought that this race would be this close? We are talking today about communication entanglements. We have a case study right here in the United States of America of communication entanglements for the last 4 years. A whole nother episode. But right now, let's get back to the regularly scheduled program. As usual, we are kicking ourselves off with a powerful affirmation from Walker and Walker Enterprises. Today's affirmation is, I am purposeful in my communications and deliberate in my response. I want to say that one time again, because we are talking communication entanglements today. So this is very important to set ourselves up right. I am purposeful in my communications and deliberate in my response. To grab your deck of 40 affirmation cards, go ahead and go to lolitawalker.com/shop. Welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker, the podcast that coaches you up while meeting you exactly where you are. Grab your water, tea, or something stronger and allow this podcast to help you feel the power in your pause. Come on in and join the conversation. Let's go. Let me ask you this. Are you entangled? It's not really that funny, but what do you think of when you think of the word entanglement? I'm going to let you sit on that for just a little bit while I say hello to those of you all who are returning. I already know you have pulled up your comfortable chair. And then here is a huge welcome to all of you all who are joining us for the first time. Welcome. Now, on this podcast, we break things down into three layers. The first is coaching. This is where I meet you where you are and offer you just a little bit of soul work to challenge your thinking. Next, we go on to some cocktails. Now, this is not about what you are sipping on. No. There is no judgment over here, but it is more about celebrating the greatness of who you are when you show up to this kitchen table. And then finally, there are conversations. Now, here is where it's either you and I one-on-one, or I have a special invited guest. And today, we have invited Mr. Damon Jones to our kitchen table. And let me tell you, the conversation today is a good one. You will not be disappointed. A little about Damon. He is the Chief Communications Officer for Procter & Gamble. He is a graduate of Xavier University and has worked on public brand relations and media strategy across the globe. Now, I'm talking about Switzerland, Ireland, Asia, and Boston and Cincinnati, and that's just to name a few. And to top things off, he was the spokesperson for the Democratic National Convention in 2008. But wait, just when you thought he had done enough, absolutely not. There is still more to go. He was named the most powerful player in U.S. communications industry by PR Week magazine. Now, this earned Damon the right to be named the first Black executive to top PR Week's annual power list. Now, wait for it. In their 14 years of existence. Did you hear me? This man is making some power moves, and we are so excited to have him today. Even with all of those accolades, and of course, more to come, he describes himself as just a kid from Detroit. Now, what's really cool is that Damon, alongside his business partner, recently opened a Black-owned wine and jazz lounge in downtown Cincinnati. We are going to talk all about that and so much more, including how to get ourselves out of communication entanglements. But first, let's get into this coaching right after a word from our sponsor. Are you ready to make a statement that is as bold as you are? Are you ready to match your outside look with your inside confidence? Well, you might just be ready for a bit of glitz and garb. This small family-owned business is based in Southern Maryland, and they are shipping unique and custom merchandise, both domestically and internationally. When you wear one of their pieces, you are sure to turn heads each and every step that you make. From one-of-a-kind face masks to one- and two-piece women's couture, they are offering the highest quality merchandise on the market today. Be sure to check out shopglitzandgarb.com for a special savings of 20% at checkout, specifically for the listeners of the Coaching Cocktails and Conversations podcast. That's shop, G-L-I-T-Z, the letter N, G-A-R-B.com, and enter Kitchen Table for your savings today. I can't wait to see you in your glitz and garb.
It's time for some coaching and a little bit of soul work.
I know most of you all have your CC&C journal right in front of you. Look at you all prepared. I love it. For those of you all who are new to town, not a problem at all. You can go directly to lolitawalker.com/podcast and print out your own personal CC&C journal. Just a sacred space for you to write down the notes and the exercises that we do every other week. Go back, reflect, sit in it, and then decide next steps. It's all about getting clear. Remember at the start of this episode, I asked you, are you entangled? What did you say? Now, for the purposes of this exercise here, I'm going to say yes. Now, if you don't have a CC&C journal, no problem at all. Just hang in there with us and do the imagery as we're talking. Go ahead and talk out loud.
Now, for me, once or twice in my life, I might have come into a situation where I felt that I was really clear on what I was looking for out of a conversation. And I even kind of thought about how I wanted to approach it. But somehow that conversation went awry and it did not quite go as intended. Okay. Have you ever been there wondering like what the heck happened right there? Well, in today's quick exercise, what I really want to do is help you to look at a situation to sift through, you know, why the conversation may have gone the way it did. This can be for the good or the not so good. It's always important that we look at what really worked well and the things that didn't work so well. The goal here is self-reflection. I'm going to leave you with four strategies on what you can consider in future communications, no matter the situation, no matter if it's for work, home, or life in general, okay? You can even actually use these strategies to reflect on past conversations. Hopefully, as a result, you'll choose to communicate differently and more intently. Let's go.
We're going to draw a box at the top of our paper. Then we're going to make two columns immediately under. When you think about the word entanglement, what's three words that you think about? And write them on the left-hand side of your paper on that first column. So for instance, for me, when I think about entanglements, I think about complicated. I think about compromising. And I even think about just kind of all mixed up. So those are my three words. What are yours? Now I want you to think about a recent communications that you've had that didn't really go as you intended. That could be, hey, I was talking to my spouse and I don't really know how it went sideways. Or it could be, I had this conversation with my boss and I'm not really sure how we got to that point, but it definitely was a little off kilter from what I was expecting at first. Whatever the case is, I want you to think about that and I want you to write that in your box. Now, on the right-hand side, I want you to write why. Take it one by one. This conversation with my manager or this conversation that I was having with my spouse was complicated because why? So I want now you to dig into that three times. So that's your first why. It's going to take some time. You're not going to finish it right here, but this is all about the soul work. This is about writing out your exercise and then going back and reflecting and having some time to dig deep. All right. So your exercise is simple. At the top, you have, what is this situation? What is this communication that went awry? On the left-hand side, you have, these are three descriptors of entanglement. And then on the right-hand side, as related to that situation right there, it was complicated because why? And why was that? And then why was that again? All right. I want to leave you with four strategies today to help you just a little bit with communications before, during, and after our entanglements. This is all about really hearing the words of what I'm saying. H-E-A-R. Here's the thing. When you are hearing what I'm saying, meaning when you are hearing what someone else is saying, hear them intently. Don't let the words go in and out one ear. My daddy used to say, go in one ear and out the other. So let me give you what these four are. The first one is honesty, right? We want to be honest first with ourselves, by ourselves, and for ourselves. What really is the issue right here? And then what was our role in the issue? You know, that box that you talked about right up above? That E is about experiencing your pause. It's sitting in that uncomfortable space. It's sitting in that momentary interruption. It is recognizing that it's okay if you reset the pace. I want to hear, I want to digest, I want to understand, and I want to consume the words that you're saying because I want to make sure that I'm hearing you so that I can either replay it back to you or we can have an open and honest conversation. A is all about accepting the warning signs. You know, it's so interesting this right here because I think that a lot of us fall into this, including myself. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Oftentimes we find ourselves in a space where we are attaching ourselves to the potential of. How many folks listening right now have stuck in this thing for the potential of what this person could be, should be, and would be?
Remember in episode one, when we talked about standing on the foundation and what that means for everybody individually and collectively, that is who they really are. You've got to believe them. We can't change people. We can influence them, but not attach ourselves to the potential of what they can be because we are going to change them. Make sense?
And then that R is recognizing and reflecting on your what and your why. Recognizing and reflecting on what is happening and why is that. Remember that exercise that we talked about is how am I defining what entanglements really are? What is it that happened? And then why? Because you might have the amazing opportunity to reframe it. Now that you understand your why, now that you are drilling down deep and you really have gotten a bit more clear, imagine now how the conversation might be different. What can we control is our reactions to situations. That's why it behooves us to be as clear as possible and to use our ears. We have two ears and one mouth.
Use it accordingly.
These four strategies, I think, will set us up for how we can potentially communicate differently. Go and think about it. Send me an email at change@lolitawalker.com.
It's time for some cocktails.
I am here to celebrate. And as I talked in the beginning, this is all about celebrating the greatness of who you are when you show up to this kitchen table. Today, we are showing up and we are showing out. I hope that that coaching exercise really just has you thinking a little bit differently. You know, when we think about communication entanglements, there's so many different webs that can be spun. I trust that as we move forward and you hear the conversation between Damon and I, you're able to pull even more nuggets. I'm also celebrating the greatness of the wins in history today. Talked about them earlier, but just can't get enough. I'm just so excited and I cannot wait to go out and celebrate, which will happen as soon as I finish recording and editing the remainder of this episode. Yay! I'm celebrating you for a renewed spirit on how you are going to intentionally hear that H-E-A-R when you're in communications so that you don't get yourself entangled. And then lastly, I want you to celebrate you. What is your one win from today? If you're just waking up this morning, what is your one win from yesterday? All right, we're going to keep it nice and light. And now it's time for some good old fashioned conversations. Hey, Damon, and welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. I am so excited that you are here today.
I am so looking forward to this conversation. It's been a while since we've been face to face, but you know, this is a great next best thing.
Absolutely. Before we get into communication entanglements, okay? Before we do that, I'd love for you to tell the audience just a little bit about yourself.
Me? I'm a kid from Detroit. Spent the last 20 plus years traveling a little bit of the world for Procter & Gamble and for myself. Just passionate about new experiences. By day, I am the chief communications officer for the company, which is an amazing opportunity to touch and shape, you know, lives through what we do. And by night, I'm part owner of a Black-owned wine and jazz lounge in downtown Cincinnati. Love people, love my family, passionate about connections. And as soon as Ms. Rona gets done with her thing, looking forward to getting back on the airplane because I love to travel as well.
Well, we are so excited. You said a couple of things there. One is you are the perfect person to talk to us about communications, just in general. Your career has been around communications, and you had some pretty cool jobs in the past that lend themselves to being such an amazing expert. But you also talked about this amazing jazz lounge. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, because opening up a small business
during a pandemic,
a Black business in Cincinnati, I love it. Tell us a little bit more.
Sure. Well, my partner and I, Tammy Scott, we met a couple years ago and really just talked about the boom that was happening in terms of economic development where we live. And candidly, the conversation was like, it's too much happening for us, and more of us, I mean, Black people, not to be up in the mix of it, right? And mm-hmm. I think when you choose to get into business, a lot of the alignment is not just based in the plan and the idea. It's based in who are you doing business with? Mm-hmm. Do you have people that you know, that you trust, that you can communicate with well? Because you're not always going to get along and agree on every decision. But we thought it was a real great opportunity to really bring something to Cincinnati that didn't exist before. Wine and Jazz Lounge, 90% of the drinks that we serve are made by women or people of color, winemakers. So yes, a great opportunity to uplift and really build this ecosystem among entrepreneurs. You know, I say right now, even with all that's going on, it's a great time to be Black. Is where we can support each other and create a space where we all just want to be together in community and to do it around things that we have passion for. I'm really excited.
Yes. Community. You talked about communication. You talked about trust. You talked about economic development and seizing the opportunity, which all then comes down to why you're not entangled at this point, right? A question that I asked earlier on before you got on the show was the question of, are you entangled? Now, how can we tell if we are entangled? I want to delve in a little bit, because when I think about communication entanglements, right, I think complications. I think, is it compromising? Check. Is it mixing you up? Is it tying you up? And why is it so important to not be entangled when it comes to communications?
Well, I think the lesson here is people talk about a communication entanglement. Mm-hmm. You know, communication can oftentimes be a symptom of a more deeper, more systemic issue, right? We don't have, take what we're going through right now with race in America. This is not a communication issue, it's a real issue. And I think when you look at a business relationship, a personal relationship, communication plays a fundamental role, but you need to always make sure that where there's communication, that you talk about it as communication, but where there are differences that are more substantive, that you embrace talking about those things. And I think one of the things that I've learned both personally and professionally is the real importance of getting to understand how you feel and why you feel for yourself. And if you're not clear on why you're doing what you're doing, there's no way you're going to be effective at explaining that to somebody else. And yes, so we can get into that communication issue, but you know, fundamentally, if we're not on the same page in a relationship emotionally and spiritually, the communication is going to come out. If we're not on the same page financially, it's going to come out in communication, because you're not arguing over the car note or the TV, you're arguing about something that's much deeper than that. So yes, we can talk about communications entanglement, but the first step in solving a problem is being able to talk openly and honestly about that. There's, you know, the famous James Baldwin quote there, nothing can be tackled until it's been faced.
Ooh, let's say that one more time. That was good.
Nothing can be tackled until it's been faced.
That was good, because one of the things you also just said is that communication, it bubbles up to the surface once there's a gap and once you recognize that you're not clear. When we think about being clear and being on this path, what about people who say, well, I don't really know where it is that I'm going? Now what?
Well, I think it first starts with being comfortable with being in this uncomfortable situation. Mm-hmm. And too many times when we're trying to figure out where we're going next, we want to rush into doing without spending time reflecting and really thinking. And there is a time to move into action. But sometimes when you're in that place, stay in that place and stay in that pressure zone to make sure you get the clarity that you need. And then when you leave that place, you can move forward much more deliberate with greater strength. Now, that's not to say that that is a very clear point in time where you start and a very point and clear time when it ends, because these types of decisions are all about loops, right? There's times when you think you know what you want and you get into a relationship and discover that's not what you want. You need to have the confidence to say, hey, this no longer works for me. And whether that is a job, whether that is a city that you're living in, whatever it is, that honest conversation with yourself and being able to go beyond if something's working or not, but to really spend some time in the why. A lot of times when I'm counseling someone into making a business decision, a lot of the process involves asking the why. Well, I want to do this. Well, why? Because I believe that. Well, why? Because I feel that. Well, why? And some of the strongest communicators that I know are not just blessed with the gift of gab. They're blessed with clarity of thought. They've spent time in reflection, and they know what they know so well that they speak and they move with a certain degree of confidence. Confidence is often underplayed when it comes to communication. Now, you need to have substance. You need to have substance because people will see through the BS really quickly. But at the end of the day, once you know something and you know that you know, and you know that you know that you know, as they say in church, you can move forward in a very, very powerful way. When people jump in and they say, well, here's what I want to communicate. I'm like, well, okay, are we really clear on what we're doing? Are we really clear on the pitfalls? Because you're just going to move in a very different, a very meaningful and a very substantive way. Yes, there are some tactics to communication and how you use your voice and how you write and the times in which you choose. But communication is a how we achieve great things in life. It is not an end in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. That's a tweetable moment right there. I love that. Come on with it, Damon Jones. Listen to this. I left them with four strategies when it comes to communication, and I want to check them by you to see how good I was in this. The first is honesty first, with yourself and for yourself. The next one was experience your pause. And you just talked about that. It's really sitting in the moment and capturing that momentary interruption, as I said in my TEDx talk. Now, that was a plug, but you all are invited to check out my TEDx talk. It is very relatable. Experience your pause. It's so important that when we pause, that we allow ourselves to sit in that uncomfortable position, right? The next one was accept the warning signs. There are always signs that's right in front of us. And sometimes we attach ourselves to the potential of what could be because we set these expectations on people, right? Let's talk about relationships. We marry potential or we want potential. This person is absolutely, they are capable of doing so much. Let's come out of relationships and even look at work. This person is so much more capable. I'm going to put them inside of this position, but yet we don't help them sit in their pause and learn and understand. And then the last one is really what you were just talking about, which is recognizing and reflecting on, I said your what and your why, but understanding what it is you want to do and for what reason. I'm going to do this because understanding your why. So I love that you said that in that right there, the four strategies say, I want you to hear me in this communication. It was H-E-A-R. I want you to hear what it is that I am saying, because then you become extremely clear on where it is we're going. What do you want to add to that one?
It is an incredibly powerful framework. And I'd add a couple of thoughts as to why. On the point on honesty, one of the communication skills that I think is really helpful personally and professionally is not only that you are honest with yourself, but that you find constructive ways to acknowledge when you think that someone is not being honest with you.
Yes.
And we oftentimes think about that in a very adversarial way. And in some cases, two things can be true at the same time, but you're entitled to your own opinion, you're not entitled to your own facts. But when it comes to honesty, how do you, when you're in a corporate environment and someone says, well, Lo, you said this, or Lo, you did that. It's like, well, I see it differently. And here's why I see it differently. Mm-hmm. So I would frame it this way. You know, you ain't got to say, well, that's a lie, you know, but understanding tools that you can use to get people to understand the intent behind what you're doing and not look at it through their own lens is incredibly powerful. And when you see things that are incongruent, finding, again, constructive ways that the third parties who are perhaps on the periphery of these can really understand your point of view. Sometimes in the heat of a moment, you're so convinced that you need to get your point across that you stop listening to the bigger picture, right? So seeking to understand and then finding, you know, what is the way that's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But you've got to know that when you see something that is not true, how do you confidently and specifically address it in a way that lets people know that you're not to be messed with and that you have facts on your side? And the pause is actually one of the most effective communication tools there is.
Boom.
and just be comfortable in the pause. When you ever hear, you watch the presidential debate, you watch a powerful speech, and President Obama was amazingly talented at this. He would say something, and then he would just let it sit. And in that marinade, as you go back and you look at the speech that he gave, the eulogy for when those 9 Black lives were lost in that church in South Carolina years ago. And if you just go back and you watch, you ain't got to watch but 5 minutes of it. And just look how he articulated the pause. And in that moment, it brings emotion into what you're saying. And it also gives you time to get your next thought together. So it's an incredible thought, both in the macro sense that you used it, but also in the very specific sense when you are trying to get a point across. Using pause, not an not a okay, not a but just a pause. It can be amazing. To your last point, the R, if you will, it speaks to people. And I think the power of a framework is you get to apply it to so many different situations, right? Because no two situations are the same, but being able to reflect and to just learn from the things that we do that are effective and the things that we do that are less effective. And as a communicator by day, you can't be so prideful that you think you're right or that you're not actively seeking out how you can become better. Mm-hmm. My greatest learning experiences have been times when I have failed to be successful in having my audience think, feel, or say, or do what I intend for them to do at the end of an engagement. And then you have to go back almost step by step and analyze it almost with engineering precision. Mm-hmm. Why didn't that work? And asking yourself the question, why? Communication isn't the first place that we go to when we're trying to break down a problem. It's something that we oftentimes miss. Again, the framework, I think, is very powerful. And I think it's something that's relevant that people can apply both personally and professionally to people of all ages.
Oh, yes. You know, thank you. I hear us saying the same thing, and hopefully the listeners are also feeling it too, because what this does do is allow you to apply it. Like you said, whether it's personal or professional, whether it's politics or work or relationships, anywhere you find yourself entangled. Sometimes we say things and it's miscommunicated. Sometimes we say things that we absolutely wanted to say, but the framework wasn't there so that someone can receive it. Now, we don't know if they're willing to receive it, quite frankly. But I think what I want folks to take away from here is that you are in control in how you communicate and how you navigate communication inside of your space. Does that make sense?
I get that. It makes a lot of sense. But there's an important addition that I'd make to that is, as a communicator, part of your job is to understand how your message is being received, right? So sometimes we said what we said, and we knew the framework in our mind of what we were saying at that moment. But I'd invite people to ask the person or the group that you're engaging with, what did they hear in that moment, right? Because they've also got a filter. They also have lived experience. They also might have had an argument that morning before they left the house. So you don't know what frame of mind they're in, right? So asking them what they heard, or what they perceived in that moment, before you get into the deep substance of the issue, gives you an opportunity to perhaps reframe, rephrase a message in a way that it can be understood, right? You called me and you told me X, Y, Z. I only heard X, and X made me so upset that I can't hear Y and Z. And now we arguing about X, Y, and Z, and you arguing about X, right? So break it down. What did you hear? You know, do you understand? Am I being clear? And allow people to probe you, allow people to get clarity. And then y'all can talk about the substance of the issue. But also, as a communicator, you have to understand that your audience has their own lenses that they bring to a situation. You're not responsible. You're not accountable for them. But it is something that you must consider, because you have an outcome that you want to achieve. And you cannot achieve that outcome if there are these lenses and barriers that are preventing your message from being received in the way that you intended to be received.
You know, before we go into what I call the come as you are round, where I throw 3 questions at you, right? And I just want you to answer. I know it's coming. But I have this other question that came out of what you just said is, what do you say to someone who says, I don't work for you. Why are you speaking to me as if you would speak to somebody at work? Have you ever gotten that?
You know, it's interesting because I've had that from multiple angles, right? And on the surface of it, there is sometimes too much of a hyper focus on you're not the boss of me. And you hear kids say that, like, well, who'd you get to do that without understanding what was intended in that moment? So I'm going to come back to the whole how you deal with it. But one of the things that I think has been particularly successful from a professional standpoint is understanding how to navigate an organization. And there are some organizations that are by their nature very hierarchical. There are other organizations by their very nature that are very, they have very distributed sources of influence and power, frankly. P&G is one of those. Some of the most successful people are not the smartest ones in the room. They're the people who are able to take ideas and talents of all people from all different disciplines and all different levels and then bring them together in a way that allows people to move forward on the same page. Mm-hmm. So when I hear that, and there are moments when you can say, hey, I can't receive that from you, but look at the information in its purest form. Mm-hmm. And if that information is just as valuable coming from a peer than it is coming from your manager, then I challenge you on how you consider and accept it. Mm-hmm. Now, there are times when someone comes at you and you were like, hey, I can't take that direction because that's not the direction that we're aligned to. That's a different way of phrasing, like, who the hell do you think you are talking to me like that, right? Mm-hmm. Or telling me what to do. Separating the message from the messenger is something that can be important. But there are times when people come at you, and I've had it because, you know, I like to think I look younger than my age. I've had people come and bless your heart and say, well, we really need, you know, one of the directors to tell us what to do. And they have made an assumption at this point that I am young, Black, whatever it was that led them to make that assumption. They're like, oh, are you assuming that I can't make this decision? You know, and again, go back to the point that we talked earlier, finding ways to constructively challenge them in that moment. Yes. And then sitting in the pause, the story I tell frequently, back in the days we were traveling, I have been in situations where, you know, they board in first class and you get ready to go and first class, like, sir, we're only boarding first class.
Yeah.
I say, what makes you think that I didn't hear the announcement and that I'm not sitting in first class?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to pause until they give me an answer. Not moving on. Sit there and in that pause and let them know, whoa, what just happened here? Right. So there are some ways in which you can do that. But we getting off track, and we don't need to talk about that story. That's a whole nother episode.
That's a whole nother episode, because I've had that happen to me as well. Let me tell you, the reason that I asked you that question is because I have experienced, hey, why are you speaking to me like you're at work or that you work for me? That has happened to me. I think it is asking that question for clarity, like, oh, what did I say that made you feel that way? Is it because I'm articulate? Is it because I'm taking my time and I've offered that pause to you? Is it because I'm challenging your status quo? Or is it because I'm making a demand on you that you don't think is reasonable? What is it? And I love when you said earlier, it's the how. Like, communication is the how. So yes, there is feedback, if there is. Once I understand the rationale of why you asked that question, there is an opportunity for me to choose to take the feedback and reframe and repurpose so that then you can understand it. Or I can help to clarify why that wasn't the intent. Oh, you know what? Thanks for that. Or I recognize that you just wanted something to say. That's why I asked, because I think oftentimes we find ourselves, at least I feel like when you're in a corporate space and you learn this corporate speak that you don't even know is corporate speak until after you come out and realize, like, oh, everybody doesn't talk like that. You didn't understand what I just said. I thought it was clear.
But that clarity of intent right there is so important, right? I mean, you know, particularly in a professional environment, because stuff is going to get lost in translation. That's a natural part of it, right? But coming out of those moments, how can you be really clear in your intent? And sometimes you just say, I'm sorry. Let me restate my intent so that I am articulating this perhaps in a way that I didn't before.
Yeah.
Objective A, B, C, whatever it is, like that. Yeah. Now you, after perhaps misunderstanding something the first time, you're not going to misunderstand the second time, right?
Absolutely.
Because I done repeated it. I done told you I was repeating it, and I've clarified my intent. So how you choose to receive that is different. Absolutely. I'm telling you what my intent is, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's grace that we need to accept in our own communication. And it's also important grace we need to give to others when we feel, you know, we've been on the other side as well.
Mm-hmm. So juicy, so juicy. Okay, it is time for us to go ahead and get into these questions.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared. All right. The first is, why is the work that you do so important and so impactful?
A big part of my work at P&G is elevating issues of race, equity, inclusion through what we do with our corporate voice and what we do through our brands. I personally believe in this work. I believe it is good for society. I believe it is good for business. And I believe it leads to giving people a deeper connection to the purpose and passion that they put into their work. How communities see themselves, how communities see each other, all of these things are shaped by the words and actions of companies. I mean, P&G is the world's largest advertiser. We touch 5 billion people every day. As I think about the opportunity for little Black boys and little Black girls to see themselves on TV in positive and affirming ways, that's real life to me, right? And so I do believe in connecting your purpose and your passion with your work. Not that you go into the work every day happy about everything that happens, but when you know that there is greater good coming from what you do every day, I think you walk with a different pep in your step.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I am so blessed to have been connected to a company such as P&G. When I watch commercials, they still touch me in a way that gives me shivers and makes me want to cry in the moment. And I think that the power of the folks behind the brands and the folks behind putting that entire thing together is really the essence of connection. And the communication of it comes across so powerful. I absolutely love the strength and the relatability that comes through every single commercial. Before you even know the brand, you're like, oh, that's a P&G commercial. It's just amazing. And I think the equity of who you are, even bringing it back to self, the equity of who you are as an individual absolutely shines through in the communication and your voice that you offer to the world every single time you show up, every single time. And I say that because as listeners, and especially if they've been here before, they know that I'm always talking about the power of you showing up in your right now. That opportunity might not come again. Okay, we digressed a little bit. The next is, what strength do you possess now that you didn't always recognize was a strength?
I think empathy is a strength. I think being able to understand what someone is thinking or feeling in that moment allows you to enter conversations very differently. Mm-hmm. And I look at, you know, some of the family dynamics. You know, I was always the one that after people got done arguing, they'd come run to me. I was the one that could connect with the older generation and the younger generation, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, beyond people say, oh, you can talk to anybody, you can have a conversation. It was less about what I said than I think the ability to truly listen. Mm-hmm. Listen deeply, listen to what people were saying, but also listening to what people were not saying. I think that creates a very different starting point in a conversation. When you start by saying, hey, look, tell me how you feel right now. And imagine not, well, I got something to say, I want to tell you. Well, this conversation just ain't about me and what I want to tell you. You know, the conversation has to be about what we want to get out of this together. But the power to really deeply understand how different people approach things. I think it's something that I learned to do in debate club in high school going, you know, back. It was kind of like, you know, it's not just about what you say, but it's how do you make a rebuttal or add additional context to something. So that's a strength that I think is really important. Again, just learning how to read a room, understand a situation allows you to then handle it so much better, whether that's any kind of negotiation or communication to my advantage in how I walk and how I move today.
Mm-hmm. And then we can't talk strengths without talking opportunities. And in this case, a barrier. What is one barrier that you believe still stands before you today?
One of the barriers that I think I have is, you know, I tend to be very well researched in the things that I do. And there are times when I come at things with such a degree of confidence that what I view as confidence, other people may view at times as arrogance, mm-hmm. right? And so understanding how to deal with that situation and how to read a room, I'm getting better at it because there are times when you got an hour for a conversation, there's times you got 15 minutes for a conversation. And I think that's just been a journey that I've been on and understanding how people receive me and my style uniquely. Because we both can walk into the same room, have the same conversation, use the same words, but because of what people know about me, what people see when they see me physically, you know, through lenses of their own, they're going to put barriers around that. And so it's taken a while for me to really acknowledge the importance of that and understand how to read a room. And there are times when I am, when I've got my listening ears and eyes open, that I'm very effective. And there are times when I don't. And when I'm not, I think it's because I've not listened to the degree that I should have and recognize the unspoken words that are there. Just remembering to, you know, take a little bit of time to do that. And it's hard in the busy world that we live in to just see, you know, to be able to see the world through someone else's point of view.
Well, listen, Damon, this has been amazing. I've had so much fun and so many nuggets. I can't wait to listen back. Here, we always give a cheers. We take a cheers to everything around here at this kitchen table.
I'm mad at it. Listen, we need to take every little bit we can get.
Absolutely. What is one cheers that you can leave the audience with today?
If I were to leave with a thought, I would say cheers to the ability of knowing yourself and knowing yourself so well that you realize the gift that you are bringing to the world. So cheers to that.
Yes. And cheers to the pause. Okay. Cheers to the pause. I am always talking about feeling the power in your pause. And I will tell you that as I was growing up, it's so funny that you gave us these pauses while you were speaking to show the intention of it. Because as I was growing up, my father used to always say to me, after you say something, sit in the silence. You don't have to feel that silence. Don't feel it. When I'm saying feel it, I'm saying F-I-L-L. Who told you that you have to feel it? You sit right there. And I remember him telling me that as I grew up, but really when I went into the corporate space and would come to him with an issue like, what do you think I should do here? And that's when he really tapped into it, that we do not have to fill spaces. The pause is not ours to fill. It's theirs to fill. And I love it. So good. Thank you.
Listen, it has been so good just to be with you, be in fellowship, be in community, hear your voice, and everybody else can't see this, but we're on Zoom right now, just to see your smile. So, you know, I got warm fuzzies right now.
Oh, warm and fuzzies. I love it.
We have concluded another episode of Coaching, Cocktails, and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker. Connect with me at lolitawalker.com for speaking, coaching, and my book, The Intersection of You and Change. Next time, bring a friend. Cheers!